Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
I'm here. Yes, I'm really here. Sounds like you like me. You really like me. You're listening to Spouting Off, and I'm your host, Karen Cataline. You're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1, and we had a couple of technical glitches. BBS has been expanding lately, and so that's what happens in live talk radio. But I'm delighted to be here after a week of fighting the flu, and I'm back and raring to go. It's Tuesday, December 12th, Election Day. Unless you've been living under a rock, you gotta know that tonight, unless it's a super duper tight race, we're gonna find out whether Roy Moore will be the next senator from Alabama to replace Jeff Sessions, who went to the AG's office, the Attorney General of the United States. I could pontificate about how happy I am with Jeff Sessions, but I'm holding out hope that he'll grow some cojones and do something. But the real story, at least in Alabama, has been Roy Moore. And, you know, people that I've known politically over the years have always said, you know, they love those slogans and phrases like, money is the mother's milk of politics, and this is one of their favorite ones. All politics is local. And they say all politics is local, and they say it with such conviction, all politics is local. But I beg to disagree, at least now. That could have been true 5 or 10 years ago, actually more like 20, and I'm not even sure then. But today, with social media, with everything so hyper hysterical, it's fun for talk radio. I think all local politics is national. This race in Alabama has become a national race. It's been a referendum on everything from Donald Trump's Coca-Colas to everything you can imagine has been thrown into this race. And the spin and the hysteria is, oh, it's fun. So tonight, break out your popcorn, watch the elections tonight. Now, I'm not afraid to say that when this show goes out on iTunes and all the other millions of places that it hopefully lives forever, I don't mind telling you this is Tuesday, December 12th, 2017. So if you want to call in, probably in the second half of our show, we're going to go a little long today because we got started late. You can give a call to me, in about 20, 25 minutes. I got to watch my clock here because I got to do some spouting off myself. So it's toll free, 888-627-6008. Or you can call direct at 323-744-4831. So go ahead and, what do you think about what's going to happen today in the elections? I am cautiously optimistic that Roy Moore will win. I'm not a big fan of accusing and convicting people in the public arena with no due process, no evidence, evidentiary hearings, nothing. This is all for political posturing, which unfortunately everything is today. Case in point, we have yesterday, some of the media was reporting that Jones was 10 points ahead, and then they were saying that Moore was 4 points ahead. The left just won't give up. What they try to do is suppress the vote. That's one of the great tactics. And, you know, if you've been watching politics for any length of time, you should probably know that this is one of the many tricks in their little toolbox. They become very predictable after a while. But when people lie to you habitually again and again and again and again, do you really want to listen to their polls and listen to what they tell you and listen to what a vote for Roy Moore means? They even despicably tried to scare and bully voters in Alabama, saying that people would know how they voted, which is patently untrue. People will know that you voted. They won't know how you voted. But the left has never been afraid, never been embarrassed to scare and lie to people in order to get votes. Now, I'm not saying Republicans never do that, but we can point to the numerous ways that that happens on the right. So it's a busy, busy news day, as they like to say. And I could not continue without mentioning that tonight, while I'll be watching the election returns, I'll also be lighting my Hanukkah candles, or as we say in Hebrew, Hanukkah candles. Hebrew and Yiddish are one of the few languages where phlegm is a consonant. So we have Hanukkah, the festival of lights, tonight. And if you're wondering why Hanukkah always ends up a different time every year, some of you may know that Hanukkah is based on the lunar calendar rather than the solar calendar. So if you're wondering what Hanukkah is about, I just have to say this as an aside, and that is that Hanukkah is a beautiful holiday. It's the Festival of Lights. I'm going to tell you a little bit very briefly what it's about. It's a beautiful holiday, but I got to say that in the long list of Jewish holidays, it is not considered a super duper major holiday. I mean, all holidays in Judaism are important, but some are way more important than others, like Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, Rosh Hashanah, Passover. These are the major holidays. But Hanukkah always gets a lot of play in the non-Jewish community because people want to placate us and tell us how, you know, happy Hanukkah, because then they know that they're being politically correct when someone wishes them a Merry Christmas. Well, I'm not afraid to wish anybody a Merry Christmas. I don't happen to celebrate it, but a lot of people do, and I'm not offended. Oddly enough, liberal Jews are more offended at being wished Merry Christmas when they don't celebrate any other Jewish holidays the rest of the year than more conservative Jews, either politically or religiously. That's one of the many curious enigmas of being a nice Jewish girl who isn't always so nice. So let me tell you what Hanukkah is all about, very, very briefly, because we've got so much to get to. I cannot wait. But it's important to spend a little minute on this. The second century BCE victory of a small, greatly outnumbered and outarmed army of Jews, that happens all over the Jewish history. They're always outarmed. They're always outnumbered. Known as the Maccabees, over the mighty Greek army that occupied the Holy Land. The rebellion was in response to the Greek attempt to force a Hellenistic, godless lifestyle on the Jewish inhabitants of Israel. That, too, is very common. People are always trying to force their religion on Jews, even though Jews are pretty often credited with the origins of many of the other religions. Some religions accept that and some don't. Part B, the kindling of a seven-branched menorah or a candelabra, a seven-branch, not an eight, was an important component of the daily service in the Holy Temple. When the Maccabees liberated the temple from the hands of the Greek invaders, they found only a small little bit of pure, undefiled olive oil fit for fueling their menorah. The problem was it was sufficient to light the menorah only for one day, and it would take 8 days to produce new pure oil. Here's the miracle of Hanukkah. Miraculously, the oil burned for 8 days and eight nights. And so we light our Hanukkah, which has nine candle holes. A Hanukkah has nine because there's one that lights all the rest. We light them one for each day for 8 days. That is Hanukkah. Now, so I'll be lighting my Hanukkah and watching the election returns tonight. Okay, so on to little bites of big issues. I love it when I get to do themes, especially when there's so much going on politically. I mean, the news cycle gets shorter and shorter and shorter, and the biggest challenge is always to figure out what's most important, what's on your mind and what's on mine, what's driving me crazy. So of all the things that are going on, and there's a lot, I could do many hours and I don't have that long. The theme that comes to mind for me is backfire. Just like that pipe bomb that was unsuccessfully, although it did hurt the bomber at Port Authority. And I don't mean to make light of this. It's very profoundly serious. The media refuses to acknowledge that this, unless I'm mistaken, qualifies as the first suicide bomber on American soil. I could be wrong on that. Call me, tell me I'm wrong. But we were afraid that there would be suicide bombers. And ISIS warned us about it as well. And here we have a pipe bomb attempting to be exploded in the subway of the Port Authority. I lived in New York many years, and I remember, and I know exactly where that is. But lo and behold, it backfired. We always hope that suicide bombers will backfire. It backfired, and it went on to the bomber and not anybody else. Four people were hurt, and from what I've heard, they've been released. The story of the Russian collusion has been going on for 10 months. It is a story that could be done for 3 hours. And locally here in Colorado, I'm going to be, and Wyoming, I'm going to be doing some programs in which we're going to be talking about Mueller's investigation and the Uranium One deal. But the Russian collusion story has suddenly given way to a rehash of the Trump is a misogynist and a sexual predator story. Never mind that the left wasn't worried about Bill Clinton's sexual predatory nature. And there was an enormous, I can't emphasize that enough, an enormous difference between credible accusations of rape, which the media refused to ignore or adjudicate, and talking about and telling the truth about the fact that when you're rich and famous and in the public eye, you get to do whatever you want with women. Now, to lump all that together is ridiculous and preposterous, and that's why the left does it, because they can do it. But the Russian collusion story, which isn't going away, is backfiring. It's backfiring, along with, if you remember, Hillary Clinton talking about how Trump wouldn't accept the election. And let's see, we haven't heard from her in about, 5 minutes. So maybe she's accepting the election, or maybe her Democrat compatriots have got her tied up in some room somewhere, maybe in the basement of Colorado where she was keeping her emails. Nonetheless, we haven't heard from her, but it took her at least 10 or 11 months to accept the election. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that she never did accept the election. So that backfired on her, as well as rigging the election, which we know the election was rigged. Donna Brazile wrote a book about it, and she was one of the ones who rigged it. Go figure. And that backfired. The NFL protests backfired. The DNC and what's going on there and accusing Donald Trump of being mentally ill and unhinged backfired, because they're acting mentally ill and unhinged. Their attempt to delegitimize Trump. Are you seeing a pattern here? So their attempt to delegitimize Trump, and they're not going to stop. Just get ready, because they're not going to stop. I cannot wait to talk about what I think are some of the strategies going on, both attack and defense. It's fascinating. If you like political chess, which I love, then you'll want to stay tuned. So in their attempt to delegitimize Trump, they have fully and completely delegitimized themselves. Another backfire? Remember when fake news was a term that they came up with right after the election so that they could attempt to cover all the bad news that was coming out about Hillary? Right at the very end of the election, they were saying, you know what? It's fake news that Hillary had all these emails and she was colluding. Well, colluding, that's another story, that she was pay for play and a million different scandals. Let me not exaggerate. 12. Okay. 12 different scandals, at least. And so here we are. And it's backfiring on the left. Fake news. Fake news is now a term that Donald Trump has employed to completely and appropriately delegitimize the fake phony news media that has made jerks of themselves, particularly this week. There's just no end. So, and of course, the misogyny. Now, here's one. It's rather piddly compared to a pipe bomb in Port Authority. But we had Lindsey Vonn, good old Lindsey Vonn, making lots of friends in Hollywood and all over the left by saying that when she won the Olympics in the alpine skiing in, 2 months, a month, that she wouldn't be representing Donald Trump. And then she fell down. So we don't know what's happening there. I am not cheering her falling down. I'm just wondering about this constant pattern of the left and those that come to try and take Trump out being hoisted by their own petard. It happens again and again. Does that mean that I think it is a done deal and a given that that will happen? No. But I think that if you're a savvy political watcher, you have to look carefully at what's going on and say, you know, this is what I've said for a long time. Trump is taking Republicans to school. Now, he can't take the establishment Republicans to school because if ever there was collusion, it is with the Democrats. The establishment Republicans and the Democrats are colluding together in order to get rid of Trump. And my goodness, they're just going crazy because they have not been able to do it. Let's talk a little bit, the last backfire for now. Actually, two more. I got two more backfires for you. Let me find this in my stack here. We have the media lies, omissions, and mistakes. This is a great article, which I highly recommend. He used to live in Colorado. David Harsanyi, who wrote a piece called Political Journalists Have Themselves to Blame for Their Sinking Credibility. It is astounding. There's a list of the mistakes that have been made again and again and again. I'm not going to outline them all here because if you're listening to me, you probably already know. And you can call on that in the second half of our program if you'd like. CNN, MSNBC, Reuters are all breathlessly, hysterically desperate to find pieces of information, even if they're lies, no matter how stupid it makes them look, and it does. And yet, they refuse, utterly, completely refuse to look at the reality on the ground. That must be what makes them liberals, because the reality is that something's going on that they are completely out of touch with. They don't understand the loyalty that people have towards Trump. And it isn't because, believe it or not, even though Trump is quite a charismatic figure, it is because he tapped into the most profound sense of fear and worry about the safety, security, and well-being of this country. He was able to do that. I watched the most wonderful panel discussion. If you really want to have some fun, and this is relevant, look up some of the great videos from Restoration Weekend, which is sponsored by David Horowitz. You can go to frontpagemag.com. And there is a most wonderful video with David Horowitz, Pat Cadell, and our very own Steve Bannon talking about what they did to actually win this election. Only now are those books starting to come out. And it's a reality that the left simply cannot deny. Well, they're denying it anyway. But one of my theories about that, by the way, is that in order to even attempt any credibility, they have to ignore everything that happened starting January 20th. They've been trading on whatever came out in the election up until November 8th for the last year. They can't afford to talk about any of his accomplishments, which are many and growing. There are now lists and lists of those accomplishments. If you saw the really quite wonderful rally in Pensacola, Florida, Trump did outline some of them. I couldn't even begin to tell you the list. And I think it's important, if you are a freedom lover and if you love what's happening in this country, reversing some of the marching socialism and marching tyranny that's been going on in this country, it's important to continue to lay out Trump's accomplishments, because he's going to bury them in his accomplishments, and we have to keep reminding them. Among them, 17-year high in optimism and economic optimism. Just recently, the very 162nd one in 300 days, 220,000 new jobs were created in November. Take that, Obama. Oh, and Obama's trying to take credit for that as well. Let's see. Israel, we're going to try and get to, because that is obviously a place near and dear to my heart. The issues going on there. Here's a president who had the courage and the guts to do what other presidents merely talk about. Isn't that funny? Trump gets held accountable for his words, not his actions. And other presidents take credit for their words, not their actions. Think about that. I love, ironies like that. So here, Trump is guilty for talking about doing something to women because it's so easy to do because he's so famous, all of which is true. Just ask Wilt Chamberlain, who claimed to sleep with 20 million women. 20 million? Maybe 20,000. God, that's a lot. Anyway, and yet, presidents who have no intentions of backing up any of the stuff that they do, they take credit for having just said they were going to put the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem. When Donald Trump actually does it, makes plans to actually do it, the very people who claimed it was the right thing to do are now really, really upset. So there's good reasons for that. And hopefully we'll have time to talk about that as well. Now, I always find my way back. The last backfire, oh, and it was a big one. It was great. It was beautiful. I loved it. Was a press conference, the daily press conference with Sarah Huckabee Sanders. The left, by the way, is loving making a complete mockery of her. And I think she's a beautiful woman. She's a smart woman. And she's incredibly poised and calm. And I'm going to give you an example of some of this in just a minute. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders was hounded by Jim Acosta. And I'm going to play this in two clips so I can comment on it. Doug, if you will, with the first clip.
And I would just say, Sarah, that journalists make honest mistakes, and that doesn't make them fake news. But the question that
when journalists make honest mistakes, they should own up to them. Sometimes, and a lot of times you don't. But there's a difference. There's a very big... I'm sorry. I'm not finished. There's a very big difference between making honest mistakes and purposefully misleading the American people, something that happens regularly. You can't say, I'm not done. You cannot say...
Something that was completely Sarah,
you cannot say that it's an honest mistake when you're purposely putting out information that you know to be false, or when you're taking information that hasn't been validated, that hasn't been offered any credibility, and that has been continually denied by a number of people, including people with direct knowledge of an instance. This is something that... I'm speaking about the number of reports that have taken place over the last couple of weeks. I'm simply stating that there should be a certain level of responsibility in that process.
This was not
Ryan, I called on Jim.
I love that clip. I was making notes while I was listening to that. I'm going to say the obvious because, well, I'm going to say the obvious. If Sarah Huckabee Sanders was a Democrat, they would be rolling out the red carpet for her coronation as the next president of the United States. But because she's a Republican and she stands up to these bullies, I read something on Twitter that said, she's saying, I'm not done, making fun of her. And Chelsea Handler, you know, putting out, calling her a tawdry and a, oh my God, it is amazing how hypocritical the left is. When they want to destroy someone, they look like the biggest woman haters because they are. Look what they did to Sarah Palin. They don't just criticize, they want to destroy their enemy. They're not too much bothered with pipe bombs and Port Authority, but boy oh boy, you go after dare to disagree with them on policy, or you claim to be a conservative or a Republican, and you are evil. And we've known this for a long time. The other thing that I just loved is that with all of the plethora of sexual harassment allegations that just keep going and going and going, on my website, which, by the way, is www.karencataline.com, I put slides and pictures and cartoons on the top half of the front page of my site. And for the last few days, for the last few weeks, I keep waiting to change something, but these things, these stories just keep going on and on. The political football keeps going on, and also the sexual harassment suits. Every week it's someone else, and they don't care that each issue should be looked at individually and specifically. They don't care if there's any due process. They scream, yell, and carry on about no due process for felons who've been on death row for 14 years, but they can't give due process to Al Franken if they think it'll help them with their going after Donald Trump, among other things. My prediction there, by the way, is that Al Franken will miraculously decide not to step down if, let's see, how does this work? If Roy Moore comes into office, he'll step down. If he doesn't, Franken won't step down. That's going to be my prediction. And I don't like dealing in predictions because who cares? Either you're right or you're wrong or whatever. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders, with the sexual harassment that's been going on and being exposed, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the totally ridiculous, here is Sarah Huckabee Sanders. This isn't a sexual thing. This is a strong woman thing. Here's a woman who stands up, who does not allow herself to either be bullied or interrupted, and you're going to see the second part of this in a minute. She's strong, she's polite, she's smart, and you ought to watch her too. She is a beautiful woman. She just doesn't fit the Hollywood standard, a woman after my own heart, and she's stinking smart. Okay, so listen now very carefully to how she manages, excuse me, the attempt to bully and bully and not let her continue on her way, and she's not going to give in. Imagine, if you will, somebody saying, oh, I want you to have my child, and have her cowering in the corner and saying, oh my God, I've been sexually harassed. This kind of nonsense is so condescending and insulting to women. Children, one thing, but for when women, grown women, act like five-year-old children and wait 40 years to come forward with various allegations and then claim that they were harassed, didn't anybody teach them how to handle someone who makes a pass at them? Now, is there inappropriate behavior? We've been over and over and over this. Of course. But do women need to learn how to handle this? Yes. Why? There's a lot of reasons. One, we want our men with testosterone. We don't want to turn. I do not want to turn my men, my man, into a sniveling pajama boy. I like men who are strong and powerful. I don't want them to be abusive, to be assaultive, but there's a huge difference between a strong man who can be polite, but who likes, who's rowdy and randy and has fun. And if you're not a woman who can handle that, you know, you need to go back to kindergarten. So let's listen as this strong woman handles the media bullying of Jim Acosta. Doug, clip two, please.
This is not the line of questioning that I was going down, but can you cite a specific story that you say is intentionally false, that was intentionally put out there to mislead the American people?
Sure. The ABC report by Brian Ross, I think that was pretty misleading to the American people. And I think that it's very telling that that individual had to be suspended because of that reporting. I think that shows that the network took it seriously and recognized that it was a problem.
Sarah,
Jim?
If I may, though, I was going to ask a question about something else.
Well, you used it on something else.
Sarah, if I may.
Sarah,
I think it's
Sarah,
we're going to keep moving, guys.
If I can ask about the other president's accusations.
I'm moving to a different Jim, I'm sorry.
I know, but I didn't get a chance to ask the question that I wanted to ask, which is,
Jim,
can you just say once and for all whether these
Jim, I'm going to say once and for all that I'm moving on to Jim Stinson, and I'm not taking another question from you at this point.
Sarah, a question about investment,
to your attacks on
investment
the media,
taxes.
If that's okay. I would like to ask the question that I had about these accusations of misconduct against the president. You said that he's denied them. Can you say whether or not they are false?
I'm not
that's all I'm asking.
You're
not
go ahead, Jim.
Sarah, some investors are saying the tax reform package favors mutual funds.
And he's still going. He may still be in there trying to get her attention. I have never seen such persistence. It's not illegal what he did, but he was so embarrassing. The only person that wasn't embarrassing was him. Yeah, the only person who wasn't embarrassed was him. It's amazing. And that kind of multiple attempts of just going and going and going is, in my opinion, what people need to ascertain about sexual harassment. If you're being coerced, if you're being held over with a job, if you're... I don't know. I was always a little ambivalent about the sexual harassment stuff that the left pushed on us to begin with, because I just don't like those collectivist laws that get put into place and then are used to abuse us all. And are you feeling a little abused by this? I am. I think that's what it's all about. And it is going directly for Donald Trump. Now, do I think Trump is infallible? No. But how many instances have you watched? How many instances have you seen of Donald Trump turning it on its ear and it backfires on the attacker? Why? Because he's a counterpuncher. Case in point, I'm going to give one more example. Maybe it is a backfiring. Such a great theme today. And then we're going to take a little break and we're going to go a little long. So get ready with your calls and questions. And if I don't have anybody, I'm going to talk about the Trump attack and defense strategy. So hot today is the little Twitter war between Kristen Gillibrand and Donald Trump. Hilarious. Hilarious. I'm telling you, hilarious. Get out your popcorn. Here we go. So case in point about liberal women acting like hothouse flowers. Here's what Kristen Gillibrand said, yesterday, whatever it was, on Twitter. Oh, Twitter. I love that Trump uses Twitter, and I'm glad he is. So Gillibrand, President Trump has committed assault, according to these women, and those are very credible allegations of misconduct and criminal activity, and he should be fully investigated, and he should resign. Okay, that was not in a tweet. That was Gillibrand telling CNN. So let's see. Kristen Gillibrand, a senator from New York, has acted as judge, jury, and executioner. She is a lawmaker. Can you say that all, class? I don't mean to be condescending to you. You don't deserve it. She is a duly elected lawmaker, and yet she's decided that because there are, according to these women, very credible that he has committed assault and he should just resign. Never mind that millions upon millions upon millions of people have sent him to Washington, sent him to the Oval Office, Donald Trump, to clean up this disaster and this mess, call it a swamp if you like, and that he is the most historically unusual, incredible candidate president we may have ever had because of the nature and the danger that we were under when we were losing our way in this country. I can't speak of that enough. You can see why he is such a threat to these people. And oh, they know he's not going to just resign. Oh, you know, somebody accused me of something and they're a friend of Hillary's, so oh my, I better resign. So Trump hit back at Kirsten Gillibrand. Let's see, where's that in here? He hit back and called her a lightweight, which she is. Now, usually women like being called lightweights, but I guess Kristen Gillibrand didn't like that too much and said that, here it is. Lightweight Senator Kristen Gillibrand, a total flunky for Chuck Schumer and someone who would come to my office begging for campaign contributions not so long ago and would do anything for them, is now in the ring fighting against Trump. Very disloyal to Bill and crooked used Hillary. I don't know what the used is. Well, she is a used up candidate. But so to do anything immediately gets taken as a quote. Kristen Gillibrand hits back at Trump for sexist smear. So let's see. She's hitting back by claiming to be a victim. That's how the left hits back. By claiming that she's a victim of Trump's sexist smear. And what is the sexist smear? It's that she'd do anything for a campaign donation? Seriously? So anybody, if you say about any politician, they do anything for a campaign donation, that is immediately a sexist smear. You heard it here first, folks. It's so ludicrous and so ridiculous. If you buy any of this stuff, you simply are brain dead. And nobody listening to me right now is brain dead. You really just have to laugh. So I'm laughing. I'm having fun. We're going to take a break in just a minute. And when we get back, we're going to take your calls if there are any. And if they're not, I mean, you want to call because you'll be forever embedded in the iTunes as this program lives on forever in the ether of the internet. At least we hope. So if you'd like to call in live right now, that's December 12th, it is. You can call toll-free 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4837. And we'll take your calls and we'll talk about Trump attack and defense strategies on Spouting Off right after this.
Hi, I'm Jordan, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on the legislative vesting clause of the Constitution.
Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution states, "All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States." To the founders, legislative power was the power to make laws that apply to all alike and are clear and easy to understand. The Constitution says all legislative powers, and that means Congress cannot rightfully delegate these powers to some other body. Today, our laws are thousands of pages long. Sometimes rules are tens of thousands, and no one can read them. Congress has abdicated its legislative power to unelected bureaucrats and countless executive agencies. This is a violation of Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and Declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're back. Are we all set, Doug? Good. We just have to double check and make sure that I'm being heard and everything is fine. Yay, team. Okay. As promised, first I want to do my thank yous. We're going to go, I think, until about 2:10, 2:15, something like that. Got to know exactly, because of our little technical issues. But if you'd like to write or call or participate or connect with me on social media, you can go to www.KarenCataline.com. You can find me at Facebook at KarenCataline/KarenCataline or Twitter at KarenCataline. I got to thank Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. I always got to do that. And we are going to yet talk about this attack strategy that has been put upon Trump in the most astounding ways. You can see I'm just like flabbergasted here, because I have another analogy for you that I think pretty well puts it together, at least I hope, so that you can at least talk about it. I don't know if you ever remember, I date myself, but the original Odd Couple movie, you'll probably find it on Turner Classic Movies, was with Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon. And a very, very funny movie by Neil Simon, based on a play. And one of the funniest scenes, and you know, there's an Oscar and a Felix, that's how people came up with that, the dirty, messy guy and the fastidious guy. At one point, he talks about they have a fight. We have a caller on the line, and I'll get right with you. So hang on the line. Oscar and Felix have a big, big fight. And Oscar, in order to get the goat of Felix, decides to throw his spaghetti on the wall. And it just hangs there and it gets dry and sticky and crusty and old and gross. And Walter Matthau or Oscar says, there's your spaghetti. Felix starts laughing and says, it's not spaghetti, it's linguine. So I think, it's a long way around the barn to tell you that I think that the left has been throwing linguine on the wall for the last 11 months. He's a racist. He's a bigot. He's KKK. He's anti-woman. He has a conflict of interest with finances. He's unhappy in the White House. Melania's unhappy in the White House. Barron is autistic. The White House is in disarray. Russia, 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 like Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. He's mentally ill. He's physically ill. He drinks 8 Cokes a day. He watches 8 hours of television. He's incompetent. He's evil. He should just step down. He should be impeached. You know, they're filing articles of impeachment of him. We're not crazy. We're not in disarray. We're not losing our minds. No, no, they are. They're the ones who are crazy, losing their minds, in disarray. Remember O.J. Simpson, how it was possible for the defense to claim that this huge cadre of police officers were both the most incompetent police officers ever, and they were the most brilliant conspirators ever. That's throwing linguine on the wall to see if it sticks. And sadly, unfortunately, it worked. So think of all this as just more linguine on the wall, and it means you got to clean up the whole wall because none of it is credible at all coming from who it's coming from. We have caller Barney on the line. Welcome to Spouting Off, Barney. What do you want to spout off about this afternoon?
Well, can you hear me, Karen?
I surely can. Go right ahead.
Okay, so I want to, I'm just going to disagree a tiny bit. First off, what you said about...
Disagree all you want.
Okay, well, Sanders, just to give you a heads up, I didn't like her dad. I still don't like her dad to this day. And I'm not 100% crazy about her boss, but it's funny that you called her a beautiful person, because when I heard this Chelsea Handler thing, I got on her page, I accepted her, whatever, you know, I'm a follower now of hers, and I just said, I think this woman's a beautiful person, and to all my liberal friends, you leave this one alone, because I'm not going to put up with them knocking her. When she first started, she was a little bit clumsy, and I thought, oh my God, what, you know, but a lot of it was nerves, a lot of it was ever, but no, I like her. She's rock solid. She's got the hardest job in America. When you have to answer for a guy like Donald Trump, you got the hardest job in America. But going back to Trump, I'm going to disagree with you on the fact that you call it backfiring. This guy, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to tweak them. And, you know, back in the campaign, I don't remember who started the fake news thing, but God, it used to tick him off when he'd call them fake news to their face. He ticks them off because he really does get in their face and really doesn't give a damn what they say about him. He can care less. But I just don't think it's a backfire. I think this guy, he knows it. Like with the NFL thing, when he came out.
Well, Barney, I'm going to give you plenty of time, so let me stop you for a minute. I'm sorry to say that we don't disagree there. What I did was I skipped a step. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Barney, good.
Gotcha.
I skipped a step. The result is that this is backfiring on his attackers.
Okay.
But what is his strategy? His strategy, you give me an opportunity to just tell you what I think the strategy is, and you tell me what you think about it, okay? Because I think Trump's strategy, among other things, it's fascinating to watch. Let me find it here because I've got it in my stack of stuff. He lets them hang slowly. He exposes them for all to see. The only way to hoist someone by their own petard is to have extreme patience. And I think that is what Trump does. He knows when to hit and when not to hit. And what he does is he waits, and he knows he's on a public national stage. And so while the people themselves don't know they're getting played, he does. And so he's exposing them again and again and again. And everything that they charge him with ends up blowing back on them. Backfire. Yep. So, yeah, I think that he is an active strategist, and he's the best I've ever seen.
It's definitely not an accident. And the NFL thing, now you could have said a lot of these other things. God, how could he be so lucky, or how did he? But the NFL thing, you had to know. Once you saw him come out, and what he does is he kind of jabs at him, and then he hangs back, and then he lets the crap pile on, and then everybody says, oh, Trump should shut up. Well, then he unloads. As soon as they tell him to shut up, he goes off.
Yeah.
And it's funny how I'll tell you what, I got to give the guy credit, but going with Roy Moore, here's another thing that's going to blow up in the liberal face. I do not like Roy Moore. I'll say it 1,000 times. I don't like the way he thumps on the Bible. I do think some of the accusations are true. But on the other hand, if this media thinks that they're going to go into Alabama and tell those Alabama people how to vote, I got news for them. They don't vote for liberals down there. It's not going to happen. Roy Moore's going to win. And you know, honestly, when that stinking fat slob, Mitch McConnell, stands up there and says he's not going to feed him. You know, it's funny how
Wait, hold on.
Whoa. Yeah.
Are you insulting fat slobs?
No.
fat slobs have a place.
I thought I hated Chuck Schumer, but I hate Mitch McConnell 10 times more. But regardless,
Mitch McConnell
it's funny how those two ran their mouths about Roy Moore, and then Franken pops up. And by the way, you're right on Franken. Franken's not going to resign. He's going to say he got trained or retrained or whatever, deprogrammed. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
If he was going somewhere, he would officially resign. He's not resigning. It's kind of laughable.
That's exactly right.
I personally can't stand him either, but that's another story. But bottom line is,
Barney, remember how long it took Mitch McConnell and a whole host of politicians to go after Roy Moore? One of my favorite Chutzpah of the Year awards goes to Mitch McConnell when he was asked, well, if you don't support Roy Moore, who would you support to replace him? And he said, well, Luther Strange would be good.
Sure. Yeah, sure he would. You know what? Honestly, it's funny. More than anything for me, I love how he's treating the liberals, but it's even funnier the way he's taken on the establishment. And you know what? Keep in mind, it doesn't look like, well, let me just say this. Jeff Sessions was a mistake. You need a pit bull in there. And I'll relax when I know I've got a Justice Department that's going to go after all this crap, Mueller. When I hear somebody tell me in Washington, D.C., like they said about Mueller, oh, he's a stand-up guy, he's this and he's that, that tells me the guy's a puke. Because anytime I hear the stand-up guys are great, they turn out to be puke. And Robert Mueller is a puke. He's a hack. He's all of the above. Serve my country, my butt. He's a hack. He's a puke. And Trump is going to win this.
Are you a little cynical?
No, not at all.
No, of course you're not. No, I
can't. Are you
agree
done with me?
But watch.
Are you done listening to my crap?
What's that?
Hey, are you done listening to me rant?
Well, no, one more minute. Stay with me one more minute.
Okay.
Because you remember, now I totally lost track of what I was going to say. Watch this. Watch for this. Remember I said that Mueller, that Trump's strategy is to let them hang themselves. Now, the worst thing in the world would be for Trump to fire Mueller. Mueller is eventually ending up on the hot seat now, and it's all coming out in the wash exactly who these guys are. So another backfire yet to come.
You're absolutely right, and I think that who's the spineless 7 foot tall, what's his name, Comey, that hides behind the curtain, you know, another upstanding nonpartisan guy. I want that puke to go down too, but you're right. The worst thing in the world would be for Trump to step in. And it's got to happen. You can't have all these pukes under Mueller pulling what they're pulling. And I love how they say, like, Gabe, what's his name, and McCabe, the guy. Oh, yeah, I don't see anything wrong with this. I don't think. Yeah,
No, McCabe isn't biased either. I got one other point to run past you, and then I'm going to have to let you go. I love your passion, Barney. Stay close, because I love the passion.
I'm just angry. That's all. It's okay. I'm just angry.
It's great.
Bye.
Here's what I think. Oh, we're talking at the same time. We've got a kind of a backed up system here. You're coming in on a different line, so that's why we're talking over each other. My apologies. Okay. What's really freaking the left out, in my opinion, and why they're acting so insane, is that they can't find the kind of corruption that's on their side. They can't believe it. They're projecting that there must be the kind of corruption, the likes of which they have tolerated, they have put up with, they have swept under the rug and overlooked. And they keep looking, and the reason they have to keep making it up is because they can't believe that someone who could make that many billions of dollars, make that many friends, be that powerful, and to have run for election, I could go on and on, never having run before, and to show these jerks what's for, they're just beside themselves.
He showed both what sides what for, though. He showed the Republicans, the GOP.
I agree.
16 candidates, and he smoked every one of them. And one other thing, this deal with the, now you made me forget what I was going to say. The bottom line is he's going to win, and he's going to win bigly, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but I will rest easily when I see Jeff Sessions, Jeff Sessions either gone and a pit bull gets in there, or Mueller. Somebody really holds Mueller out and calls it out, and it's over.
Well, but from your mouth to God's ears.
If we were worried about Russian collusion and the hacking of the DNC, what happened to the DNC not letting the FBI show us, you know, they wouldn't turn over their iPads and their frickin' computers, their laptops, because they knew they were full of it. So
there were people in the FBI that actually helped them destroy that material.
Yeah.
That is a treasonous act. But today,
it's actually illegal.
Hey, no big deal.
And you know what? Even if Hillary's emails were 60,000 yoga emails, once she did it as a State Department, anything she does in there, that's government property. Doesn't matter what she says. That's government property. She destroyed it. You know what? We'll see what happens. But
call me next week or whatever. Thank you for the call, Barney. We love your participation
and
love your passion.
Goodbye.
Take care. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, I love callers. It's great. We're going to wrap up a little bit here in our little funky show here. I want to say a word. Thanks to Barney for the call. I want to say a word about Israel, because so much of politics and what we've been talking about is political, how do I put this, propaganda and posturing, and you have to watch from many perspectives. Look at Barney, the way he is watching. He doesn't like Roy Moore personally, or he doesn't like him as a candidate, but he wants Roy Moore in there for the strategic purpose. So here we have, and I mentioned at the top of the program about Israel, it's a most momentous occasion that Israel's long-held eternal capital of Jerusalem is not only being acknowledged by Donald Trump and being planned to be moved to the U.S. Embassy moved there. It is an acknowledgement of reality, which Israel's neighbors refuses to acknowledge. They're always, always, always threatening violence, not unlike Antifa, not unlike a lot of these political bullying arms. If anybody's fascist, it's Antifa. If anybody is fascist, are groups of people who will riot and do violence if you don't agree with them. This is the antithesis of what America is about. This is everything America has stood against. The third world banana republic of policy being made out of fear. So Donald Trump modeling once again courage, fortitude, and keeping his promises, which just freaks the left out. Said he was going to move the embassy to Jerusalem, and people said, well, yeah, but he won't really do it. Guess what? He's doing it. And I believe he will do it. So not doing something you know is right because you're afraid of threats and rioting, is that the way to govern? Has that helped? People actually said, well, if he does that, it's going to hurt the peace process. My question is, what peace process? It's been a one-handed handshake from the very, very beginning. Well, I mean, it's the biggest, toughest issue there is, but it's a one-handed handshake. There's been no partner for peace in the Middle East that Israel's had. So to claim violence, oh, you better not do this or we're going to do violence? Seriously? I have a wonderful cartoon. I would urge you to go look at it. There's all these missiles pointed at Israel, and Israel, this little bitty, tiny country, don't ever forget how little the state of Israel is. It is smaller than New Jersey. It's about the size of New Jersey, maybe smaller. And yet this little postage stamp of a country has been blamed for every problem, every issue, every maladjustment, every problem in the history of man has been blamed on it, the scapegoat of the world. Well, guess what? When the missiles are pointed in the cartoon, Israel says, and I paraphrase because I don't have it in front of me right now, so you get used to it. Or, so what else is new? And when you stand up to bullies, just like Donald Trump has done again and again, you start to make progress because people see that there is definitely a line. And people all around the world are beginning to find out that Donald Trump says what he means and he means what he says. And that is what the establishment and the hard left and the Democrats are so threatened by, because they don't know how to do that. They don't know how to be real. And the people who have supported, stood by Donald Trump and continue to, they recognize a real guy when they see him. And Donald Trump is the right guy for the right time. I wish him Godspeed. I say a prayer that he should be safe. He should be successful in the work that he's doing. I may not always agree with him, but I think he's an honest broker. Take that, the left. We're going to wrap it up here on our funky spouting off show. Tune in next week when there is going to be a whole lot more of spouting off, and you'll get to spout off on Spouting Off.